Good morning. It is 7:32 and you're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Linda. And if you're like me, you'll look in your checkbook every once in a while and you'll go, how on earth did that happen when I know better than to handle my money that way? You know, we all need help sometimes. And so I'm so happy to be able to talk with Brad Graber this morning, financial planner from Investing in Truth. You can learn more about Brad and read some of the articles that he's written at investingintruth.com. But Brad, first of all, good morning.
Good morning, Kelly.
Hey, we've been talking about boot camp for a while, and before we get into our actual topic for this morning, I wanted you to share a little bit about that, because I know for me anyway, it's important to get back to the basics sometimes and kind of do a financial tune-up. So what is Investing in Truth Boot Camp?
Well, Financial Boot Camp is a course that we started about 10 years ago now, and it was just designed to be a logical progression through Scripture to teach us what the Bible has to say about money from A to Z. So we start off with the basic fundamentals and just get more advanced as we go and try to apply Scripture to all areas of our financial lives.
I know you've got a lot of great articles that are connected to the boot camp, which people can see online at your website, investingintruth.com. And we'll give all of you that web address again. Don't worry about trying to memorize it right at the moment. That's okay. But Brad, want to talk this morning about a Christian's financial life, and should it look different, or is it okay for us to look like the rest of the world with how we basically handle money?
And this is an important question that we like to tackle right at the beginning of the class, because so many of us have just adopted the financial game plan of the world around us and have never really thought through, are we even playing the same game? So it's a big question to ask there. So let's just take a quick look at the worldview of an unbeliever versus a believer and how that affects our financial lives. So for the unbeliever, this life is all there is. So once the clock runs out on earth, there's really nothing beyond it. So that's going to inform the financial decisions that they make. So with that worldview or that life view in mind, doing anything other than trying to maximize enjoyment during this short life here and eating, drinking, being merry, as the Bible says, would be crazy, because that's all there is. So why wouldn't I use everything I have to maximize my enjoyment here? The believer, on the other hand, believes what Scripture has to say. 1 Peter 2 says that we're aliens and strangers here in this earth. So this is our temporary stay. Our eternal home is our true home. So when we have that worldview, then we realize that our financial tools, our resources, are really just tools to help us get through this life, and we need to be using those tools for maximum purpose, and that purpose of this life is to glorify God and to try to win others into eternity as well by sharing the gospel with them.
You know, I think about the scripture that basically says, if I gain the whole world but lose my soul, is that worth it? No, it's not. God has prepared so much more than we could even begin to think or ask or imagine. And I think this money that we have here, if we've blown it all on our earthly desires and having a good time, it's going to so pale and be such a disappointment, I think, to us when we see what has been prepared for us. So talk about that a little bit, Brad. The whole world is of no value compared to eternity.
Absolutely, and Jesus gave us two great examples in the shortest parables I'm aware of anyway, which is the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great value. And those are back-to-back parables that we find in Scripture, and Jesus' point is, he starts it with, the kingdom is like. And then he uses the example of the person that finds the valuable treasure hidden in the field, and the merchant that's actually looking for fine pearls and finds one of great value. And the end result for both of those guys is that they joyfully, that's the key word here, that they joyfully sell all that they have to get those things, the hidden treasure and the pearl. So, again, the kingdom is what we're talking about here. And as a believer, when we understand the gospel, when we understand what's being offered to us in eternity, all value on earth pales in comparison. And we should joyfully, as believers, be willing to give up absolutely everything. And that kind of takes us also to the story of the rich fool in the Bible. And he's listening to Jesus talk, and it says he walks away sad because he wasn't willing to give up his wealth for what Christ is offering to him. And it just strikes me, that story just strikes me over and over, about he wants to follow Christ, and yet he walks away sad because he wasn't willing to. So did he really understand the value of eternity that Christ was offering? I have to say no. You know, he got a glimpse of it because he walked away sad wanting it. But did he want his money more? Yeah, he did. So he never really truly grasped the value. He wasn't able to get to the point of joyfully wanting to give everything up. And that takes us back to the other point, too. You know, it made it harder for him because he had so much wealth. So if we take our financial resources and try to make this life so comfortable, it does kind of cloud our view of eternity as well, and we start to get comfortable here and start to lose that vision and that understanding of how great eternity is to come.
You know, I think, and I know I've done this in the past as a very young Christian, Brad, and I bet you run into this a lot too when you're counseling people financially. We tend to sometimes separate our spiritual life and look at that as something that is, God has ordained as holy and good, and we want to grow in that respect, but we separate it from our physical life and the things we've been given to work with here instead of bringing the two together. And they are meant to be a whole because God cares about how we handle everything. And you say in this article, you know, one of your boot camp articles, we're supposed to be fleeing from our former lives. And by making that separation, we're not.
That's exactly right. And a converted life should not be living for human passions, but for the will of God. And it says that in 1 Peter 4. So I think that's an important part of finding counsel as well, that where people can look into your life, because so often we're blind to those things. And if somebody else looks at our financial life and our spiritual life, they can see, okay, are these two things in alignment with each other? Where for ourselves, we may be justifying that, you know what? I think, you know, my faith is strong, my finances are sound, everything is good. But an outside eye looking into it or giving us advice can look at it and say, hey, you know what? These two things aren't in alignment here. You really need to consider, how your faith should be operating in this area of your finances.
I think it's interesting, too, because I've had people that have been friends for a long time who are not Christians, who don't know Christ, who would look in on my life, and they think that once you become a Christian because of everything that they hear about it, well, you're supposed to have it made. You should have just all these great blessings financially and have everything in the world you could possibly want, but they're not able to see that in the scope of eternity, there is so much more than what's here before their eyes. And I wanted to ask you, you know, when it comes to how we handle our finances, Brad, we've been instructed to spread the gospel. That is our great commission. How can we work our finances into doing that? How does handling those bear witness to the rest of the world?
Yeah, well, there's a couple ways. Obviously, we can use our money to spread the gospel. So through our giving, just in the way that we're living our life can be a living, breathing testimony. So, you know, you look at the believer who may not have a lot, but are they chasing worldly desires, or are they completely content in the situation that they have, knowing that they're being faithful with what they've been entrusted with? And the believer should always remember that God makes the rich and God makes the poor. And when we find our contentment in that, what does that speak to the people around us? And again, as they inspect our life, as they spend time with us, we're going to be different. And that difference, they're going to wonder, why are you different? Why are you okay with this? Because you're going to handle all situations differently, including your finances. And when they see that, they want to know what the difference is. How can you possibly be content with this? Nobody else in the world is content with this situation. And our contentment comes in Christ. And that gives us a perfect opportunity to share that.
Hey, Brad, we got just about a minute left, and I wanted to ask if you would, in our final minute together, if you would just give a word of encouragement to folks listening this morning who might be saying, you know, I've got this money, maybe I've not been handling it necessarily the way God would have me to, or maybe I've been trying, but I've goofed up. Where do I start with some self-assessment? What are some things we can ask ourselves to take a look at the condition of our finances and get everything in alignment with what God would have us do?
Well, one of the things is looking at what do you consider the most valuable to you? And is there anything in your life that if God asked you to give it up, you would have trouble giving up? So when we love creation more than we love the Creator, that's idolatry. So is there anything in our financial life or in our material life that we would struggle to give up? If so, then that's probably the area where we need to challenge ourselves, because maybe we love it more than we love God. And we're finding our contentment or our identity in those things. So that's one place to start. And obviously, we just have to pour into Scripture. We have to look at what is God telling us through his word so that we can assess our situation, so that we can assess our hearts. I mean, that's really where it all boils down to. What does our heart long for? Where's our identity found? Is Christ above and beyond everything else? Or are we trying to attach ourselves and our identity to this world?